You know what this song is from, Crowder? I mean, we've talked about it. This song has deep meaning for me in my radio career. Do you recognize what it's from, though?
Blues Brothers.
48 Hours. Solana writes on the message board, Len says, play something upbeat. Jimmy plays a song from the 60s. This is from the 80s. This is from 48 Hours. This is the Bus Boys in the bar, you know, where Reggie Hammond says there's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Reggie Hammond. That is a banger of a song by the Bus Boys. That's the song, people who listen to this show forever know, that I told Victor Bermudez when I started my WQAM career in Afternoon Drive 11 or 12 years ago. I said, I want The Boys Are Back in Town by the Bus Boys. And he played The Boys Are Back by Thin Lizzy, which is a real, you know, Big O style song, like classic rock. Was not what I was looking for. And my QAM career began on a mistake. And my guess is my career will end one day on a mistake. That's pretty much how I'm expecting the bookends of my QAM career to be. But that is an excellent song choice, Jimmy. The Boys Are Back. That means Solana's back and Crowder's here. And Jimmy, of course, has been the stalwart on this show last week when we switched over. We're now 104.3 FM WQAM. Miami sports leader. Welcome back, Solana. Good to have you back.
Thanks.
How you feeling?
Not great.
All right. You look better.
Hey, Hawk, we've had some scares through the years, though. I'm not going to lie, because you tweeted it out today where we've been on radio together for 10 years.
10 years.
It's been some days where I leave the show and I'm like, yeah, I'm getting a call today. That was
We crossed over the line. We got to the line and may have tapped our toe over it.
That big horse, his name was Knickers.
Yeah.
After that segment, I said, you know what? I don't think we're going to be on radio too much.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was probably too much discussion of Knickers in one segment.
Don't start. Don't start.
I was scared about Knickers.
That was tough. That one was rough. Luckily on FM, you hear what we're actually saying. See, AM, it can get muddy a little bit. I think people on the text line may have been confused, but that's what AM does. You know, FM, it's very crisp and clear, and it was very aware we were talking about a big horse or cow. I think it was a cow.
No more Knickers talk.
So today I did tweet out Crowder and I. I've been on the station, I don't know, 11 years, 12 years, but yeah. Crowder and I got paired on the radio together 10 years ago yesterday. Obviously, we weren't on yesterday. So today we have been on the air doing a show together for over a decade, which is wild.
That crazy, man? When you tweeted it out, that's crazy.
It's crazy because a decade has flown by. We've had incredible fun. I don't think we've had a serious argument in 10 years.
We did when I said they should kill feral cats. Yeah. And you got upset with me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? I was doing that to protect you. I thought you had crossed the line.
Yes.
That you were going to get in trouble for something you said. And I kept trying to throttle it back. And you kept doubling down.
Yeah.
Because we've had that was the only one. I mean, we argued about Zion Williamson. We've had arguments, but those are radio arguments. But in 10 years to work with somebody and not really have a blow up. Did we have a blow up over the feral cats, though? Was I really angry?
No, you were blew mad. Up. Yeah, yeah, you blew you up. Blew up.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, you got hot about me saying kill the feral cats. You and Solana had some. Y'all have had about a half a dozen, though.
I had blow up with just about everyone I work with. It's one of the things I find so remarkable over the whole course of the 10 years is that you and I have never really had
we can't do it. Come on, Hawk. Come on.
talking.
Figure out your internet. Come on.
You know, just
I always assume it's my internet.
Well, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure at first if it was you or me or Hawk, but no, it's Hawk.
I think that's Jimmy's computer. I think it's Jimmy.
It's not my computer, Jack.
Jimmy is so happy to have
I think
Solana
it's yours,
back.
Jimmy. I'm a Jimmy. Jimmy did so well last week. It was unbelievable. Yeah. We had so much going on last week. We talked about it on the air, but Jimmy was an absolute hero last week on this show because the producer really is the backbone of everything going on. And Jimmy, especially Thursday, you know, when we made the switch over to FM, and then Friday, Dan Day was off and it was just Jimmy. And we had the TV crew in with us. They were doing a story on the switchover. And it was me, Crowder, and Jimmy in the studios. There was no one there on a Friday. And Jimmy was just masterful. Like he was.
Well, Thursday, them guts went bad.
Right. But he got through the difficult part. And then, you know, much like the Hulk can't control it, El Baño cannot control it either.
El Baño. My man.
Anyway, we'll talk about ourselves. I want to talk about the Dolphins. People want to talk about the Dolphins after yesterday, and it's nice to have Dolphin stuff to react to. But I do want to talk about our 10 years together. We'll do that today. Chris Perkins is going to join us, talk about the Dolphins. A couple of my takeaways. You can tell me yours, Crowder. A couple of my takeaways. Tua is that dude. And I'm sorry if you don't see it. And I know it's just one series. But, man, do I have confidence when he's in there dealing and he's healthy. You can get to third and long or you can get to fourth and short. And I feel like he's going to convert. And by the way, I'm not including the goal line stuff because I think Mike McDaniel just said, you know what? It's a preseason game. We're going to try to get the ball in. I think he would have gotten cutesier if he needed to in a regular season game. My guess is in a regular season game on that first drive, they end up scoring. But in a preseason game, that first drive watching Tua, for me, was like, wow, he is ready to go. He's in midseason form. He finds the open receiver. He doesn't get rattled. He had plenty of time. Kudos to the offensive line. And I felt good about what I saw. And again, I'm not extrapolating a season's worth of info from one drive in preseason game one. I'm just telling you, watching that game, that was what jumped out at me at the beginning was, man, do I feel confident when Tua Tagovailoa is taking the snaps.
And Hawk, and you say it all the time. Actually, Solana brings up how top heavy we are, the Dolphins roster. Mm-hmm. The top of the roster can compete with anybody. Tua, bro, Tua, I told people this for years. I just did an interview or something, and I told Tua is a top 10 arm in the world. And it's always if he stays healthy. I think McDaniel called a play. I like how they – I think he tried to be tough. Do you say he would have got more cutesy? I think he was trying to show that toughness and that we can now pound the ball and all of that stuff, which I like and I enjoy and I've been begging him to do. But yeah, this offense, if Tua's healthy, they're going to be able to spin it. He can spin it. And this O-line, if they protect him, which the joint practices were questionable. But the game didn't look bad at all because I was expecting from the joint practice reports. We can ask Perk in a second. I'm like, oh, this old line's gonna trouble me watching the game. It didn't trouble me watching the game. They were out there protecting Tua. He had time. And, bro, Tua is not my concern. Tua's head and his little fingers curling up around each other is my concern.
How about down at the goal line? If they had run a naked boot, I mean, Tua would have waltzed right into that end zone. Nobody would have seen it coming. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I believe my head coach has up his sleeve. Take your Tua rushing overs, folks. Take your Tua rushing overs.
No, don't take his rushing overs because I don't want him to run. But they should be able to get that ball in just
they
off
will.
Manhood.
I believe they will. No. I think, like you said, he was like, hey, we'll just run it up the gut or we'll just power our way in. May have not. I mean, it didn't work, but I don't think you would have seen those exact play calls in the regular season.
That's the thing that concerns me because the Bills would have pounded that ball in. The Lions would have pounded that ball in. The Ravens would have pounded that ball in. The teams we're going to have to beat to really make a playoff run would be able to get that ball in from there, Hawk. And that's what I
don't even think they had Ollie Gordon in at that point, did they? Wasn't Madison still playing at that point?
No. So on that specific play, Tua gets them all the way down inside the 5-yard line. And three separate times, Jalen Wright, who is the quote-unquote backup running back, we'll wait to see, but he's going to be the backup behind Devon Achane, is the guy who ended up getting stuffed all three times. On the following drive, where it was actually Zach Wilson's second drive, right down the Bears' defense again. Those first two drives, I mean, seamlessly got into the red zone. It was Alexander Mattison who scored the touchdown, finally punched it in. And, well, now we all know he is not going to play this season because of a neck injury. So, Ollie Gordon looked good, though. He rushed hard.
That was my other takeaway, is that Ollie Gordon is better than Derrick Henry.
See, he always goes too far, Solana. It's okay.
That's
he
what I wrote
good.
Down. And I was just scribbling notes during the game. You guys didn't have that same note because I was like, should I even bother saying this? Because one of them, I'm sure, will say it before I do.
Right.
No.
You didn't have that feeling?
I did not have that feeling. He's a big fella though now. He's a big fella. No, Derrick Henry,
the beer vendor. Section 37. Oh, did I say Derrick Henry? I meant Darren Henry. This is a friend of mine from Temple. I thought Ollie Gordon looked good, man.
He did. That inside the five series is the my concern for this season.
Sure.
Can we do that? Can we go get 3 yards and three chances? That should be pudding cake.
And we couldn't last season, and we couldn't yesterday. I get it. Like, I get it. I watched social media blow up when they were unable to get that first drive. The prettiest, most time-consuming drive, like it was everything you wanted it to be. Third down conversions, fourth down conversions. It's everything you want it to be. And then you can't get the ball into the end zone. And I opened Twitter, and it was exactly what I thought it was going to be. And I closed Twitter real quick. And I said, no, I don't want to see this right now, because I just didn't get the feeling like that's the way it would play out in the regular season. That was, you know, I don't know if I'm using Dolphins colored glasses there, but I wasn't that concerned about that.
Tua gets hurt, the Dolphin season's over. Josh Allen gets hurt, the Bills season's over. Lamar Jackson gets hurt, the Ravens season's over. Kansas City, Pat goes down. No matter who their quarterback is, they could get 4 yards in three tries.
Right. And I think we can as well. I have to see it, Hall. I'm with you. I'm using just blind faith there that it's going to be a little bit different. And, you know, you say Josh Allen goes down, there goes their season. I don't know. Mike White had a very good game. I don't know if Pittsburgh has a quarterback controversy, but Skylar Thompson had a Pro Bowl style game.
I think he
may have just launched himself into the number one QB spot on the depth chart. Why we gave up on that kid so early is beyond me. Man, would you love to have him on the roster right
now? Told you.
3 years is early.
All right, let's do a headline, because I do have so much stuff to get to, and Chris Perkins is going to join us today. That, by the way, is your training camp report. Training camp reports on WQAM are sponsored by Miami-Dade County Public Schools Technical Colleges. MDCPS Technical Colleges offer over 60 affordable accredited programs, day or evening. Hands-on training aligned with local employers. Call 305-558-8000 or visit careerinayear.com and launch your future today. For the training camp report, I'll give you a tweet from Brian Baldinger, who's a very good NFL mind. He says, Patrick Paul looked very sharp in his 24 plays. Great size. Yet he moves so easily. He has everything it takes to be as good as he wants. So, good little review from Brian Baldinger on Patrick Paul after preseason game one. Everyone obviously has their fingers crossed for him. We'll do headlines here. Headlines with Solana, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Doral VW just broke the rules of gravity. Prices are falling so fast, we're checking for a crater. Volkswagen's priced like they lost their minds. Doral VW, buckle up. No one sells for less. No one.
Alexander Mattison did undergo season-ending neck surgery. That was the latest news today. He went down in the second half of that game. It was a scary injury. Fell right on his head. And I did read from ESPN, he's expected to make a full recovery and has full strength and motion in his extremities.
All right.
That's football, baby.
That is football. And you know, I saw some hard hits this weekend. I mean, like, there were some highlights where you're just like, you wince. You forget how hard it is. And then all of a sudden, it's like right back in your face.
Is it weird that I smile?
No, I smile too. Like, there's something about football. I mean, we know what it is. What were we talking? We were talking yesterday. No, last week, you and I, and you mentioned the word violent or something. And then I can't remember if you said or you were telling a story or whatever, but you're like, listen, the truth of the matter is the sport is violent. And sometimes you have to preach violence in this sport. And if you don't like it, by the way, UFC is very violent. UFC just signed a new broadcast deal. But I mean, you can take all the precautions you want and end fights when you think a fighter is defenseless. Like, but it's a violent sport. And so is football. It just is. So is hockey, by the way. It's violent.
I was just watching Scheffler yesterday, the golf tournament. He doesn't need to wear a helmet because he's not getting hit by 260-pound dudes running 20 miles per hour. It's a violent sport. Stave them. I believe in the CTE. I'm not saying it's nothing. Just protect the players. But if you come across that middle, your ass about to get flipped upside down. It is what it is.
Dolphins are working out. Jamal Williams, by the way, he led the NFL in rushing touchdowns back in 2022 with Detroit. The Dolphins play Detroit Saturday. It's their next preseason game.
All right.
He was good 10 years ago.
And we're bringing Darren Waller and just, I mean, take your choice, man. Odell Beckham.
What's Leroy Hoare doing? Let's call Leroy and see if he can. Who are we bringing in?
Los Marlins lost 3-4 to Atlanta over the weekend. Marlins fans very upset about the entire situation. Very upset that they blew a couple leads. Very upset with Clayton McCullough and a couple decisions he made. But the Fisher six.
Who told you about this McCullough guy? Who told you about this McCullough guy several months ago, Marlins fans? Yeah. Who told you about this McCullough guy? Hey, let's have Mervis in the lineup, but we'll pinch hit for him every other time it's time for him to bat, and then we'll just get rid of him because we don't need any hitting. And, we lost 7-2.
He's still unemployed, huh?
Let me check.
Yes. I tell you yes.
So what happened while I was gone? Matt Mervis, he got cut completely by the Marlins organization? Completely?
Yeah. Appel explained to us there was zero pathway for him back to the majors. So it was with the Marlins organization because they were set at first and then they had a chance to call someone up. They called up someone else. Like there was no chance. So he was really just taking up a roster spot in Jacksonville and never was going to make it back to the majors with the Marlins. So it was kind of a solid that they were doing him. And listen, this is what they tell you when they shadow ban someone anyway. They try to make it like it's for their own good. But regardless, there was a false report that he had signed with Seattle, the Mariners organization, for the minors. Mm-hmm. And I declared that I'm moving to Seattle and I'm going to just follow his career. I can do the show from anywhere. Right. And then we found out that report was erroneous. And the way you found out that report was erroneous was just if you read that guy's next tweet, who was just a guy. But I had gone with that for over 24 hours.
So at this point, Hawk, the entire world of baseball has now shadow banned Mervis.
Doing their due diligence is the way that I look at it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There is something fishy there. I mean, this guy is hitting hacks. He's hitting hacks. You're telling me there's one team
middle school pitcher
for Jacksonville, and you're telling me that they're like the Savannah Bananas can't use him? Boom. What are we doing? Can he catch a ball upside down?
If he can do a front flip over a folding table, he got a job.
You know. I think of the Savannah Bananas. I think of the pivot, obviously. So, you know, DJ's down with his torn ACL. So we're starting to, you know, watch stuff on TV and whatever. We decide to watch the final season of Cobra Kai. You know, they released the final season in two parts. And we had watched the first part and then he'd been off at college or whatever. We never got around to the second part. So the last five episodes. So we watched the first three episodes last night. Cobra Kai is just so brilliant. RC is in it.
And Cobra Kai?
He's an actor. He's playing Ryan Clark, but he's in it.
Huck, that's what I tell you. You play yourself. You're not an actor. You're just on camera.
We were just delighted when RC popped up on the screen.
Do I play myself in The Pivot?
Well, no, you are yourself.
So am I a great actor?
No, but Ryan was acting. You could tell he was reading lines that they gave him. He wasn't speaking off the dome. Like, he was talking about Daniel LaRusso and his fight history. I don't think he knew any of that stuff till they gave him the script.
Man. So am I a great actor, Hawk? Because you love...
I don't know. You've never been in anything. The only thing you've been in...
There's a video camera in front of me. So I'm a great actor.
You did that energy drink commercial. Place went out of business in 4 days.
What was it called?
What was it called?
Oh man, I have to find.
Prime Energy or something. But
I have the press release somewhere. I'm gonna find it before the end of the show today.
So if you consider that acting,
title run,
terrible. Title run. You're terrible.
Title Adam. Run.
You run the business with your acting.
I mean, that is talent. You tanked an entire company in a month.
Right. It's not acting, though. That was just wrecking a business.
Me, Lawrence Taylor, and Mario Chalmers. Like, who's your marketing director?
What? The Marlins are off today. They're on the road tomorrow. And how about this? The AP Top 25 poll was released. We're less than a month away from Notre Dame at Hard Rock Stadium. The Miami Hurricanes, for the first time since 2018, open in the top 10. Notre Dame is number 6. Miami is number 10.
All right. So you got a top 10 matchup to open the season for the Hurricanes. Pretty cool.
Inter-Miami got rocked 4-1 in Orlando last night, by the way. No Messi. So they're now... in sixth place with 11 games remaining.
All right.
Your weather, it is a hot day. It's in the 90s. Tonight, the lows will be in the low 80s, upper 70s. That is your weather.
All right. Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel is going to join us here on 104.3 FM WQAM, Miami sports leader.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
You have Tua. You can make Tua Tartar.
Chris Perkins is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's a columnist covering the Miami Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. You can read his work in the Sun Sentinel or on the Sun Sentinel app or at sunsentinel.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Perk, and he is joining us now. Hello, Perk.
Fellas, what's up, man? I like what Mike McDaniel showed us yesterday, a little attitude, right? Running the ball in, not trying to pass it in. I like that.
So that's what you gleaned. That's interesting because we started to have that conversation. Here was my take. They get down. I'm talking about the first drive from Tua, which I thought was spectacular because I thought Tua looked like he was in midseason form, and I just feel confident when he's back there. When they get down to the goal line, Mike McDaniel, Crowder says, you say was kind of trying to make a statement. Like, hey, we're just going to jam it in here. Didn't work, but I didn't have this – I don't know, hopeless feeling like, hey, that's what would happen in the regular season. Did you?
No. I think he's trying to test out his new toy, right? You got Jonas Vaiinaia at one guard, James Daniels at the other guard. You want to see what you got there. And look, I thought on the third down, Jonah whiffed on a block, and that's fine. That's why you do this. It's the first preseason game. On fourth down, I thought Patrick Paul unnecessarily double-teamed and left Sewell to come in there untouched. But I think the attitude was there. The blocking could have been there if you know, you get that corrected by the young guys. And I'll tell you something else. You know, you go back to the practice on Friday – or what day was practice? Friday, when Jordan Brooks and Terrell Dotson got into it. And then we hear on Teron Armstead's podcast that Jordan Brooks wanted Dotson to light up one of the Bears players, and Dotson didn't do it. He just kind of, you know, tagged him like you're supposed to. But I thought that Jordan Brooks, I think Jordan Brooks has the right attitude. He lit up Julian Hill on the practice before they left here. He's trying to get Dotson to light this guy up, and then you see Mike McDaniel going for it down there on fourth down. So I like kind of this slant toward physicality from Jordan Brooks, from Mike McDaniel's play calling. I think to be a tough team, it's not just shoving guys around or anything. You have to have that toughness off the field, on the field, play calling. And I thought Mike McDaniel and Jordan Brooks were kind of personifying that through their actions over the last few days.
And Perk, I'm with you. Like you saying, schematically, if they could do some different things. But you've seen it now, and also now you've seen them against another team. The draft pick, Jonah and Brewer and Daniels and all these guys, are they more physical? You're talking about they're trying to be more physical, but now you've seen it against another team. Are they more physical than the past McDaniels teams?
Yeah, I think they are. Now, would I call them a physical team? Not yet. Let's see what happens in Detroit, but I think they're more physical, and they're trying to be more physical, and that's what I like to see. You know, look, Mike McDaniel, don't forget, he has this new toy with Bobby Slowick, the senior pass game coordinator. Now, I know Tyreek and Jalen Waddle didn't play, but I thought Mike McDaniel stuck to the run and more of the physicality as opposed to playing with this new toy, this new passing game, which I would have expected him to do in previous seasons. Again, I wouldn't call them a physical team at this point, but I think they're moving in the right direction. You see tendencies through players' actions and through the play calls.
What was any major position battle, Perk, answered in your mind yesterday? I mean, we all know about, you know, backup tackle and backup guard, the backups, really the second unit on the offensive line, and then the DBs, the cornerbacks. The big question, I guess, Kendall Sheffield, is he going to end up starting? Like, was there any position yesterday or position battle in your mind that was defined through just one preseason game?
Actually, Solana, probably number one might have been backup quarterback, right? I think Quinn Ewers struggled. You know, both of them were under pressure. I think Zach Wilson was under more pressure as far as the pass rush, not pressure to perform. I thought Zach Wilson was under more pressure. He didn't have a good game. Neither of them had a good game, but I thought Zach kind of stepped up a little bit more in the face of a pass rush and in the face of pressure. Now, there were those two passes to the tight end, one to Tanner Connor and one to Julian Hill, that should have been made. I mean, both of those. I mean, come on, Zach. What are you doing there? But I thought Zach kind of put himself a little bit further ahead of Quinn Ewers. At cornerback, yeah, they you know, Storm Duck made a couple of plays. He's going to be a starter. I don't think anything else was solidified, whether it was Nickel or whether it was the other boundary corner. I did think it was interesting that they started five DBs and Elijah Campbell was the fifth DB as opposed to Mike Hilton. But that's probably about it. It's a shame about Alexander Mattison, right, because he was really having himself a good camp, and now he has the season-ending neck surgery, and so you're not going to have him. But he was one of the stars of training camp, him and Willie Gay. And now you lose Mattison. You had already lost Kader Kohou. So kind of a rough start to the training camp for the Dolphins.
What about what you saw yesterday? And I understand it's preseason game one, and you're not seeing a lot of the same guys who are actually going to be playing in meaningful games. But did you see anything where you said to yourself, oh, you know what I expected for the season? I think it's going to be better. Or conversely, did you see something and you saw, you know what? I think I may have overestimated this team. I think they're this. Or is what you watched yesterday pretty much what you thought you were going to see from the Dolphins, and it kind of falls into line with who you think they are?
Yeah, it was pretty much what I thought. You know, right now I have them as a 9-win team, and I thought some of the successes and failures were kind of, you know, symbolic of a 9-win team. I'm very high on that front seven, on that defensive front seven, and they were only out there the starters for one series, but we did see Willie Gay get a half sack, him and Benito Jones, and then the backup edge rushers, Grayson Murphy and Derek McClendon, who have been doing good in camp, they continue to do good. It was twos against twos, you know, backups against backups, but that's fine. They stay consistent. you know, the we did see a couple of plays by some DBs. You know, Storm Duck, I see it, made a couple of plays. But Isaiah Johnson, B.J. Adams, of course, B.J. Adams gave up the touchdown. But, you know, I was bothered by the receivers running so free at times. You know, I would like to see the coverage get tightened up a little bit. But, again, they're backups, and it's the first preseason game. So, yeah, nothing really surprised me. It's about what I thought. The special teams, I thought, looked a lot better, right? You saw the good returns. You saw the 56-yard field goal by Jason Sanders. So, yeah, give Craig Aukerman, the new special teams coach, a little credit right there. I thought they had a pretty good day.
And Perk, you were nice earlier when you said Quinn Ewers struggled. Does he need a LASIK surgeon? Because Dr. Lascano, what's his name, Hawk? Lascano?
Gabriel Lascano.
That man was throwing balls into the damn crowd, Perk. Like, that's not
true. Yeah.
That Quinn, was ridiculous.
Yeah, Quinn is about to get a lot better. He's got, but, you know, it's his first game. I thought that he did a couple of good things, but the bad definitely outweighed the good for Quinn Ewers. So, And that's not what we've seen from Quinn in training camp to this point. He had been pretty solid, and everybody kind of describes him as a cool, collected type of guy, and we didn't see that. We saw Quinn kind of making some bad decisions out there, hurrying some passes, being off the mark on some passes. That's not the Quinn Ewers we have been seeing in training camp. So, yeah, like I say, I thought Zach Wilson kind of took a bigger lead And look, Zach's going to be the backup quarterback, right? We already know that. He's the $6 million man. He's also the direct calculated target of Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer. But he did lengthen his lead and becoming the number two quarterback yesterday.
And Perk, was it very vanilla defensively? Because I've been – like, my whole thing is that now you have Chubb, you have Phillips, you have Chop Robinson, you have all these little fast linebackers, like – I think that they could do some crazy twists and stunts up front with the athleticism, but it seemed like they were very vanilla because they know the weapons they have defensively.
Yeah, I think you're right, and you know, again, the first team defense, they weren't out there, you know, a series together. I think some of the secondary guys might have played a little bit longer, but you did see them. Trying to do some stuff. Willie Gay was in there with the starters. He got that sack. So, you know, that's a package. You didn't have Jalen Phillips out there playing. And so, Weaver's got some options. Those front seven, yeah, you can do a lot of things with that front seven. And I'm sure we'll see more of it in joint practice against Detroit and probably in the game against Detroit if Mike McDaniel chooses to play the starters this week. He hinted that he might. But, I'm excited, man. I want to see what that front seven can do. I'm a little bit – I'm trying not to make too much out of Kenneth Grant being second team on the depth chart, and he wasn't out there with the starters yesterday. Benito Jones was out there. It was more of a pass rush package and a nickel package. But, you know, I think Grant has been okay. I want to see him do more. I'm not going to panic. Chop Robinson got off to a slow start. But, you know, when you talk about the front seven and the stunts and all that kind of stuff, I do want to see Kenneth Grant a little bit more involved.
Hey, Perk, do you think the physicality from the Bears in that practice on Friday led to the Dolphins playing their starters or I guess all the guys who were available yesterday in the preseason game? I'll tell you why. Your old colleague Omar Kelly was on our pregame show yesterday, and he basically made it seem like the Dolphins felt like they got punked by the Chicago Bears on Friday in that practice. The Bears took cheap shots. The Bears were dirty. They were overly physical. And the Dolphins had something to prove in the game yesterday. And if you do believe that practice, that physicality led to the starters playing, because I heard that Tua, the Bears broadcast or the NFL Network broadcast reported that Tua had basically begged McDaniel to play him. Did the Dolphins prove anything with their play yesterday? Like, did they prove to you that they could be a physical team?
I'm more physical than they were last year. That's all I'll say, Solana. I mean, more physical than any team that Mike McDaniel has had, which isn't really saying a whole lot in the grand scheme of things. But again, you like to see it. It gets back to that Jordan Brooks, Terrell Dodson thing that, you know, I do want to see more attitude, more physicality from this team. I'm glad Mike McDaniel tried to run the ball No, I don't think. I think this was more strategic than reactionary. That okay. Mike McDaniel had some things that he wanted to see from the starters, that he wanted to get them prepared for a game and see them go out there for a series. And I think that's more what it was as opposed to a reaction to what happened during the week. But, yeah, according to all accounts, yeah, they did get out physical during the week. And I'm glad that they're at least thinking about having a response, or at least that's a topic, because I don't think it should be ignored. My season preview column is whether this team is tough enough physically and mentally to win a playoff game. And I think we're starting to see them move in the right direction. I don't think they have been the last 3 years under McDaniel.
Yeah, I feel the same way about this radio show, Perk. I wake up every day, I say, is this radio show tough enough physically and mentally to win a ratings book? And I'm curious what you think. You've listened to us. Are we tough enough mentally and physically to win a ratings book?
Man, I think mentally, definitely. I want to see some more physicality out of you and Solana. But, yeah, I think
waiting a while, Perk.
Yeah, y'all are all there.
What exactly is my window? How?
Well, the season opener is September 7th, Hawk. So you better, you know, this is why you got to start lifting all them weights, right?
What exactly do you want to see from me physically? Can I find that out at least? Because
just a couple of TikTok videos. Are you running some stairs or lifting some weight, doing something? I want to see something now.
How about an escalator? Can I do an escalator instead of stairs?
Pushing the button. Pushing the button on the elevator. That'll be it.
Yeah, you can run with a Walkman. He walks to Meisner Park with a Walkman on. That's his physical.
Yeah. You don't listen to cassette still, Perk? I do.
I'm on my 8-track now. Come on now. I haven't moved up
yet. Yeah. That's my guy right there. Chris Perkins. So just on the way out here, you said McDaniel intimated that the starters may play on Saturday?
Well, he said he's not sure what he's going to do in these last two games. He said they could, you know, they could get some time in either of these last two games. So he said he's leaving his mind open. I would like to see him go out there against a physical team like Detroit, especially if they're going to play their starters. Let's see. Muscle on muscle. Let's see how much progress the Dolphins have made.
Yeah, that would be cool. I'm down with that. Chris Perkins, you can read his work in the Sun Sentinel, the Sun Sentinel app, sunsentinel.com. We always appreciate your time, Perk.
All right, fellas, thanks.
There you go, Chris Perkins. We're breaking down the Dolphins after a game. I mean, we're back, baby. Don't tell anybody that we're not back. It might be the beginning of August, but we're back. Don't go anywhere. We're going to keep talking Dolphins.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I would love to have a cup of coffee and a piece of pie with Mike McDaniel at Denny's.